This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Doug Lowe with Artisan Construction and Charles Hendricks with the Gaines Group. He's an architect officially. See, I knew you back when you were just in school, but now you're official. You have you're a card-carrying member. Congratulations.
Thank you.
There's a lot that we want to talk about right now, but generally speaking, just by way of introduction, we want to talk about the whole idea of building green, of designing green. And this seems to be just on, you know, everybody is talking about this. And yet, you know, I think about half of us know what we're talking about. And I'm certainly one who is ignorant. I know it has something to do with being environmentally conscious about the imprint that you make when you actually build a building, whether it's an office building or a home. But Charles, give us some type of introduction to what we're talking about, and perhaps you can talk a little bit about your education at UVA, which is the home of, you know, green architecture with William McDonough.
To me, the building green movement is about doing it right, doing it correctly, building healthy, minimizing the footprint of what you're putting, only using the space that you need to put. And that's something that McDonough talked about in his classes when I was at UVA in undergrad. There was starting to be an emphasis of it back then. I graduated in 97. But then I went to grad school in Tennessee and studied under Mark Dekay, who's one of the pioneers of this. He's out of Washington University. And he wrote the book Sun, Wind, and Light, which is a great book on the principles of sustainable design. And really what it comes down to is you use the spaces that you need. You don't build larger than you have to. You use local materials, and you build it tight, and you build it correctly. So you build it the way that they used to build, not the way that they've been doing the last couple decades.
And you don't throw up McMansions every 3 feet like we see in Northern Virginia that are full of rooms that have no furniture in them.
Right. And you pay attention to the orientation of the house, so the typical subdivision doesn't work very well because you want glass facing a certain way. You don't want glass facing another way. You don't just put your house on the cul-de-sac because it's there. You have to pay attention to the orientation and what the site's telling you that the project needs to be.
So that the automobile isn't necessarily the major design factor here.
It shouldn't be, but in the society that we live in, we have to work with reality. A lot of people are going to need that to be the factor.
Yeah.
The streets can be designed so that they work very well for the automobile, but also work for the orientation that the solar orientation of the house.
Yeah.
And you can minimize the footprints of the house. You don't have to have a large yard. You can have a community space.
And I know this is something that the Gaines Group that you work with specializes in. Are you seeing more and more people now, whether it's an office building or a home, coming to you saying, oh, and by the way, I want some green elements to this?
Yeah, there's a large demand for good design and healthy buildings right now. And because of my work with the James River Green Building Council, we're getting a lot of publicity that we specialize in that, and we're getting a lot of interest from clients that want it. And they're really the driving force. They're demanding it. So we're doing it.
So I guess the big question here is this a fad that we're seeing, this green building or and green design, or is it the trend? Is this the new trend?
I think this is the new trend. I don't think this is a fad. It's hard to give somebody the option of a healthy building and an unhealthy building, and they're going to say, ah, give me the unhealthy one. Even the spec builder wants the healthiest, best building, best value for his dollar that he's going to get.
Yeah.
So
Doug Lowe is also with us. He's president of Artisan Construction. And Chuck mentioned the James River Green Building Council, which is the local chapter, I guess, of the U.S. Green Building Council. Tell us what that is. And a little bit about some of the interest that you've seen here for this type of thing.
I'd be happy to tell you about that. There's an organization called the U.S. Green Building Council, and you can look on the website. It's usgbc.org. And they have currently three chapters in the state of Virginia. There's a Northern Virginia chapter. The James River is actually based in Richmond. And then there's a Southwest Virginia chapter. I think it's called Blue Ridge or something like that. And effectively, the James River chapter, which we would be members of, has primarily been a group of people mostly around Richmond that have been the core of that organization. But they knew there was a lot of energy in the Charlottesville area, and so they have asked us, there's a steering committee, a small group of us, who've been asked by the Richmond-based James River Green Building Council to help start a division here, which eventually will become its own independent chapter. But that takes a certain amount of time. You have to get over some certain hurdles to meet the USGBC requirements. And I'm excited to report we had an introductory kickoff meeting just to kind of gauge interest in the community, what was going on back in April. And we were honestly expecting 20 or 30 people would RSVP and come out, and because there was a lot of activities going on. There was a candidates forum that night. There was just a numerous activities around town. And we ended up having 100 RSVPs and, you know, 100 people plus attending
down at
the Charlottesville Community Design Center location on the downtown mall.
Now, what do you take that to mean? Because that's remarkable.
Well, I think that there's a very, very strong groundswell of support for green, environmentally responsible building practices in our region. And it's in the university recently adopted many LEED standards for their future buildings coming on. LEED is a certification program within the U.S. Green Building Council.
LEED.
It stands for Leadership and Environmental.
Energy and Environmental Design.
Yeah.
And that's like the stamp of approval there.
It's a certification program that instead of just saying by ourselves we build these high-performance buildings, it's a certification process that a third party comes in and verifies it. So it's not just us talking about ourselves. It's actually
put
to the test.
Like a United
others.
Laboratories kind of stamp.
Right. Yeah. But we had more than 100 people, you know, RSVP for that program on a very busy night in
town.
That's
amazing.
And so we didn't have enough food and those kind of but it was a great problem to have. And we've got this organization basically starting and getting off the ground. And I can emphatically say, you know, we're asking about whether their clients were interested in green and so forth. And I can just emphatically say all my residential and many of my commercial clients are just, you know, that's what they come and talk to us about. That is all that we have now is that demand going over and over. I can't imagine someone saying in 5 years that I want the less efficient house or the less healthy house or the, you know, they're not going to. So in the concept of saying this is a fad, it's not one of those things I think it's just going to go backwards. It's really just been kind of slowly building for a long time. And I think that many people feel that we've reached a tipping point. It's just the way we're going to do things.
So that meeting in April is going to, you know, when you write the history of this thing, that's going to turn out to be a rather historic event, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just incredible. Now, give us some more examples now so that we can really explain this to people. When we're talking about, you know, LEED certified versus uncertified, some examples on the ground when you have your men and women perhaps actually out building these homes, what are they doing that is green?
Yeah. Let me say this. I think Charles and many of us share the concept that we'd like to see green, environmentally responsible principles going forward. In the short term, it's really important maybe to have certification programs to try to put some definition to that. But, you know, one program is not necessarily the end-all of everything. It's just a matter of a process that makes it clear and third-party verified that it meets the energy performance standards you're making a declaration of and those kind of things. But basically, LEED-certified buildings have been tested, will be tested, and you know, there are a lot of great technologies that we have out there, but we start, as Charles pointed out, you know, there's a lot of low-tech things you can do first by simply orienting the house in the right direction, having proper shade and those kind of things. But today we can also incorporate a lot of technologies that can really boost the performance of the house. We can get 30 and 40, 50%, 70% better energy efficiency in the same house. You know, I've often heard this comment that you know, the oil companies and the car companies have had some kind of concept where they could really produce a 100 mile per gallon car or better, and they just don't do it or whatever. I don't really know if those conspiracy theories are really true, but I can say that in the building industry, unfortunately, there's not many buildings built to these standards yet, but there's no conspiracy theory. It's just an implementation process because we have the technology right now. We can implement it right now. And it doesn't necessarily even have to cost more. It's usually 0 to 2 or 3%.
Well, that was my next question.
Well, I mean, there's a misconception it has to cost more. There are certain things you can do to try to mitigate that, and then you have to weigh that against the offsetting savings and the electric bills and different things. It shouldn't really have to cost you any more to get many green concepts in.
Yeah. Charles Hendricks with the Gaines Group online, thegainesgroup.com. Are we seeing more of these kind of things designed and reach fruition here and being built here in Central Virginia? I mean, is Charlottesville one of the places that people are going to point to 10, 20 years from now and say they got it?
We have the we designed the Lowe residence for Doug Lowe at Artisan Construction. That's the first LEED certified home in the Southeast United States. So we're pioneers.
Wait a minute. Say that one more time.
It's the first LEED certified home in the Southeast United States.
Right here.
It's in Crozet.
That's amazing.
So there are
the very first one in the entire southeast of the country.
Right.
The first house to be built that meets these very high standards of a green home is right here.
Yeah. 10th in the country to be finished first in the southeast. But there's a long list of registered projects, of commercial projects in Charlottesville. Registered is they're trying to meet the standards and they're trying to get the certification. So it's the step before. So in the next year, you're going to see a lot of lead for new construction projects certified here in Charlottesville. This is really the hotbed in Virginia for green design and green construction.
That's remarkable. And by the way, folks, the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you've got a comment or a question. Chuck, what is it you think when you sit down with a couple and they want to build their dream home and they know a little bit about this? What is it that you try to, the message that you try to get to them to seriously consider adopting some of these LEED certified approaches to design?
The first thing that I want to do with the client is find out what their definition of sustainability is, because there's going to be people that don't mind driving half an hour a day but want a really small house to minimize their footprint in energy use and in built space, but they're still going to put out that energy use and driving the car back and forth. There's going to be people that want to live downtown Charlottesville that want to minimize everything. So you have to figure out what their boundaries are going to be and then figure out what the approach is going to be and the best way to spend the money on the project that they want to get that's the best design for their goals. So you can invest the money in new technology that captures stormwater, uses your HVAC system can be extremely efficient and use very little energy. Or you can take the approach of if you build a really tight house and your HVAC system is not quite as efficient as it could be because you want to save a little money there, but you built a tight house, so you're still going to get a really good performance and not use a lot of energy. So you have to balance the pros and cons of all the different strategies that you go through and not necessarily go through a certification process, but I do see the certification as your insurance policy that the house is really built or the commercial project is really built to the standard that you expected it to be.
Are we really going to see a day, do you think, Doug, are we going to see a day when every home has grass on the roof? Because see that in some of these really dramatic, you know, green projects. They have, like, grass. And the Albemarle County office building now has grass on the roof. I don't really understand it. But
we have some projects in the works that do have some grass on the roof. But on the other hand, it should not be subject to one particular style of architecture. The house in Crozet that he mentioned is basically a New England-style farmhouse. You wouldn't know it any different from anything else, but it happens to probably test out at about 50 to 60% better energy performance for the same similar square footage house. It retains, you know, we catch all the water off the roof and is actually put through some hyper filtration, so it's actually our potable water. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it has 200-year-old flooring reclaimed from another building. These are all green strategies. And so
that's amazing.
And I'd like to say one thing. You know, we are actually pushing the LEED certification process. It's a program that the University of Virginia has adopted for many of its new projects on South Lawn and those kind of things. But also, there are some other programs like EarthCraft and the Blue Ridge Home Builders. And we actually participated in pilot programs for EarthCraft as well as LEED. And there's different certification programs, but the concepts we're trying to stay pushing green agendas as much as we can.
We're talking with Doug Lowe. He's president of Artisan Construction, and Charles Hendricks, an architect at the Gaines Group. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Bowles is on line one. Bowles, thanks for the call. You're on with Doug and Chuck. You go right ahead.
My question is about the orientation of the house. Should I turn my radio down?
Yes, please, or my head explodes.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right. It seems like if you've got a lot, you're going to build a house on it. It's going to have four sides. And I don't understand why you would have to have a certain side face a certain way. If you build the house, maybe what you're talking about, orientation, is I build the four sides, and then the side that is facing the south, I want to use in a certain way. I don't have to... as far as having glass or not having glass.
That's exactly right. You want to make sure that you're paying attention to what the sun's doing in respect to the glass in the house and the thickness of the wall and your R value. It doesn't matter which way your front door faces. That doesn't matter to the solar orientation.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
There you go. And I guess you get those kind of questions all the time.
Sure. There's definitely a learning curve to how to do green design and how to do green construction. And really, it's relearning the things that we've forgotten in the past. You know, before air conditioning, you paid attention to
which
to
way the wind was blowing, exactly, and where the sun came up and where it was in the middle of the day. And yeah, really, it's really fascinating. Tell me a little bit more, Doug, about the James River Green Building Council. If there's folks out there that want to get more information or how they might get involved, right, and sort of a time schedule of what y'all want to do in Central Virginia.
I think that the best way to contact us if you want to get involved or whatever would be to maybe to contact Charles, and you might give your email address if you're willing to do that.
Sure. It's CBHENDRICKS, CB Hendricks, at thegainsgroup.com. Gaines is GAINES.
And you're welcome to contact me also. It's Doug Lowe, and you could call me at Artisan Construction at 979-6399, and I'm extension 102.
There you go. And we got another caller who asked about the cost, because that really is, you know, when it gets right down to it, who wouldn't love to build the most greenest, earth-friendly home, but can you afford it? And what ballpark figure can you put on, you know, it's a standard size home. What is the price difference from a LEED certified home versus one that is not, say, you know, just a regular 2,000 square foot home?
Yeah, I would recommend that if, you know, if you put certain emphasis in certain ways, for example, the orientation of the house is a no-cost issue. It's just a thoughtful issue before the house is built. And also, we want to emphasize that if, you know, if your budget's limited, I would put the emphasis on fixing the envelope of the house, maybe upgrade insulations or advanced HVAC systems. And there's a whole myriad of things you can do. But don't leave with, you know, the impression that it has to cost you more or dramatically more. It should be these materials are becoming more and more available because more and more manufacturers are making different products that used to be very rare to find. And so it's becoming much more competitive. It will be the way that we're building things normally, I think, after about another 10 years. But right now you're just seeing a groundswell where it's, certain people are just implementing these strategies, but not across the board.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Ashley's on line one. Ashley, you're on with Doug and Charles. Go right ahead.
I've been able to listen to parts of what you guys were talking about. Have you talked about incandescent versus fluorescent lighting yet?
Incandescent versus fluorescent.
No, but I will.
My question is, okay, you know, it seems that some of the people who are intending to build very green right now are using more and more fluorescent lights with mercury vapor lamps. And, you know, my concern is that if these lamps break in stores, in homes, in schools, mercury vapor is released, or if people don't dispose of them properly, mercury is released into our landfills, into our drinking water. And so my question is, you know, why are people who are advocating the use of green materials not more concerned usually with this increase in mercury, which is one of the most toxic substances in the world, in, you know, homes, schools, and stores? I was just at a home improvement store lately, and there was a broken fluorescent bulb in one of the shopping carts. And so I'm thinking, you know, has mercury been released into this cart, you know, that a child could be in? My question really is, you know, why is there not a concern about the use of mercury vapor lights? And number two, could the LED technologies not be a more suitable replacement for incandescent lighting?
It's an excellent point. Thanks so much for the call, Charles.
The LED technology, from my understanding, is quickly catching up. Right now, it's not there that you can use it for any lamp to get the appropriate amount of light in the room. And it's a very good argument. There is concern about the mercury in lights, and there's going to be trade-offs with every decision you make throughout the green process. You have to. That's why my first discussion with the client is always, where's your line in the sand? What is sustainability to you? Is using less energy for the light a better trade-off than having to find a proper way to dispose of your light? I mean, you have to balance every decision you make with throughout the entire building process and the design process.
I would add to that that there are many products that are still used. We do not have perfect green products, and that's going to be a discussion that's going to go on for a long time. I think the trade-off, many people are advocating use of the fluorescent lighting because they only use 25% of the electricity compared to, you know, you get the same amount of lumens with a 13-watt light, I mean a 13-watt fixture versus a 65-watt, like in a recessed bulb. So you're getting the same amount of light. You're only using 13 watts versus 65 watts. And so the energy savings is there a lot, and then they translate that back to less coal-producing electrical plants
and
all the rationale.
But that very light.
But they are not perfect products, so don't be misled there. It's just she's asking the right question, and we actually have to go through an evaluation process and evaluate all the products that we use. We don't have perfect products for every solution yet.
Doug Lowe is president of Artisan Construction, and Charles Hendricks is an architect at the Gaines Group. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.